you're making your way in, if you are a guest, welcome. Feel free to sit wherever you are comfortable. And we'll have a couple announcements later about how you can get more connected, how we can get your contact information and so on in a friendly way. But for those of you who have been here a while, this isn't like any other Sunday. At least I hope it's not just like every other Sunday. This is Thanksgiving Sunday, so we are going to focus our hearts on being thankful and gaining a heart of gratitude. If y'all will stand with me, I'm going to read from a little Thanksgiving devotional that I have been doing, a little part of it that stuck with me and made me think of y'all. This is from 2 Chronicles 6, verse 14, and then I'll do a little bit of Psalm 100 as well. This is talking about Solomon as he made his way into the courts. He stood on the platform and knelt down before the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven and said, Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. And Psalm 100 says this, Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and it's he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. A couple comments about that verse in 2 Chronicles that was in my devotional that I really loved. It says, Solomon's body seems electrified with thanks when he enters the courts. First, he stands and spreads out his hands, gratefully receiving the gifts of God. Next, he kneels, lifting his hands toward heaven. We might expect Solomon to parade or puff up at his important occasion and position, but instead he lowers his body into a posture of humility. Gratitude will do that, knock us out and lay us flat. And eventually we will all kneel before him in heaven. I've always assumed it might be our shame or his power, Jesus's power, that would bend us at our knees, but maybe not. Maybe as the beloved adopted daughters of God, recipients of his undeserved grace, I imagine we will kneel with delight and bow over with gratitude for the things that he has done for us. Let me pray and then we'll sing. Lord, thank you that we can come into your courts, into this room, into this place with thanksgiving. Thank you that you have done so much for us, immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, that we have every reason to sing because you have done everything that is needed. Thank you that you love us and you know us, and one day we will see you face to face and we can bow gratefully and humbly and out of delight to worship you. And I pray that how we sing today and what we sing would just be a shadow of that, that you'd help us to kneel and raise our hands and sing with gratitude in the same way that we will one day. Amen. Let's sing. Sought the Lord.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from every fear. Those who look on him are radiant and never be ashamed, never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and saved me from my enemies. The Son of God surrounds his saints. He will deliver them He will deliver them.
Magnify.
Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Exalt his name forever.
Taste and see.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, blessed is he who hides in him. Oh, fear the Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever.
To magnify.
Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever.
Sing, let's bless the Lord every day and night.
Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never-ending praise, may our incense rise. Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never-ending praise.
Let's bless.
Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never ending praise. May our incense
rise. One more time, let us bless.
Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never ending praise. May our incense rise. Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever. In the morning you sing over me, and I receive your mercy.
Faithfulness.
Your faithfulness is clear to see. Constant every day.
Sing that again, in the morning.
In the morning you sing over me, and I receive your mercy. faithfulness is clear to see. It's like the sunrise, constant every day.
Every breath I breathe.
Every breath I breathe, an invitation to believe you are creating something good. Though this season doesn't tell my story, I know you'll move mountains for me. You're just that good, so I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough, 'cause he's more than enough, and he knows what I need, so I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough, 'cause he's more than enough, and he knows what I need.
In the silence.
In the silence I choose to believe. You're working in the waiting. Though the future isn't clear to me, no, I trust you anyway.
In the silence.
In the silence I choose to believe. You're working in the waiting.
Though the future.
Though the future isn't clear to me, no, I trust you anyway.
Every breath I breathe.
Every breath I breathe, an invitation to believe you are creating something good. And tell my story. I know you'll move mountains for me. You're just that good. So I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough. 'Cause he's more than enough, and he knows what I need. So I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough. 'Cause he's more than enough, and he knows what I need.
Sing, why do I worry?
Why do I worry? Why do I worry? Why do I worry? God knows what I need. Why do I worry? Why do I worry? Why do I worry? God knows what I need.
One more time, why do I worry?
Why do I worry? Why do I worry? Why do I worry? God knows what I need.
So I'll give.
So I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough, 'cause he's more than enough, and he knows what I need. So I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough, 'cause he's more than enough, and he knows what I
Pastor David, and we're going to enter into a time of pastoral prayer. And so if you would like, I would invite you to make your seat or your chair an altar of sorts. You can stand, sit, kneel, take whatever posture is good for you to pray in a position of humble submission to the Lord. As we're singing that song, obviously we're walking through Philippians. Before I pray, I just want to remind us of Philippians 4:4-7 before I pray. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything." Why do I worry? "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And so that's what we want to do now, this morning, is with thanksgiving. We're going to go to our Lord. And as I pray, just before I pray, I want you to invite you to take just a moment of silence. I want you to praise God with thanksgiving in your hearts for all that He's done. And then I will thank Him on behalf of all of us together. God, we truly do have so much to be grateful for. This morning, my desire is to come with just an attitude of thanksgiving to you, declaring thanks for all that we have and all that we've been given in you. You are a good Father who gives good and perfect gifts. Thank you, God, for a place to gather. Thank you for a place where we can come and worship you freely. Thank you that we live in a country where we're able to gather you freely, free of persecution or fear. Jesus, I thank you mostly that you came. Father, thank you for sending your Son to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life, to die death in our place for our sins. Thank you that you were our substitute, that you took on, Jesus, the full wrath of God, that you drank the full cup of God's wrath that we deserved. Thank you, Jesus, that after you did that, you cried out, "It is finished." You were buried in a borrowed tomb. Thank you, Lord, that you got up 3 days later, that death did not have the final say, that you rose again victorious, that you appeared to Mary, the other disciples, many, many others over the next 40 days. Thank you that you ascended back to heaven. Thank you that right now, Jesus, you are seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you that before you ascended, you gave us a grand kingdom mission. Thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing in this world. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Thank you for saving me. It's hard for me to imagine my life apart from you. Thank you that you graciously intervened to rescue, to redeem, to deliver me from my mess, from my rebellion, from my unrighteousness, from my slavery to sin. Thank you that you have now made me a slave to righteousness. And that is true for all of us who are in you, Christ. And I thank you, Jesus, that as sure as you came once, you are coming again. That you are coming to finally make all things right. That you will put an end to death, to sin, to destruction, to all the brokenness in this world. You will make all things right again. We can trust in you. Thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that until that day comes, you've given us yourself. You've filled us, Holy Spirit, with yourself, so that we might live lives that honor you, that bring you glory, so that we might live as those who have been forgiven, redeemed, bought back. That you paid the price that was owed to deliver us out of slavery. And now you indwell yourself with us. And so, Lord, thank you today. I pray that the only request I make of you today is that you would continue to give us hearts of thanksgiving. That we would be a grateful people. That we would not be entitled. That we would not be self-righteous. That we would not be arrogant. That we would not be given unto sin and temptation, but that we would be grateful. We wouldn't be looking for what's next or something different. We would rest in you and all the goodness that you are to us. Thank you, Jesus. Make us a thankful people. Be honored with our lives and in this place today. Remind us as we go from this place and into this world and into this week and into a culture that just wants to skip over the reality of Thanksgiving so that we can get all of our stuff. Make us a people who are grateful, who are set apart with gratitude for all that you've done. May that be our reality today and every day. We love you. We need you. We thank you, Jesus. It's in your beautiful name we pray, Christ. Amen. You guys can stand back with me now. Let's continue to worship our King with hearts of gratitude.
Might be a little newer to you, but I couldn't help but sing it on Thanksgiving. And it's really easy to catch on to.
I've seen your goodness on the mountain. I felt your love within the valley. And your grace still surrounds me. God, you've been good to me. Oh, you've been good to me.
Sing that again.
I see your goodness. I see your goodness on the mountain. Felt your love within the valley. And your grace still surrounds me. God, you've been good to me. Oh, you've been good to me.
My soul sings.
My soul sings. My soul sings with all my heart. Within my body, I have life inside my bones, and I cannot help but praise you. God, you've been good to me. Oh, you've been good to me.
Sing that again. I have breath.
I have breath within my body. life inside my bones. And I cannot help but praise you. God, you've been good to me. Oh, you've been good to me.
So my soul sings.
And my soul sings. My soul sings with all my heart. You're my reward, and through the years, you've been good to me, so good to me, so good to
seen your goodness on the mountain.
I've seen your goodness on the mountain. I felt your love within the valley. And your grace still surrounds me. God, you've been good to me. Oh, you've been good to me.
Amen. Y'all can take a seat.
Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen. I'm one of the pastors here. You can turn in your Bibles to Philippians. We've been in Philippians, and we're going to be in Philippians until we're finished. If you're new here, we go verse by verse through books of the Bible because we want to capture everything that God has said to us through His Word. I'm going to read this morning, the two verses that we're going to focus on today, and then I'm going to pray. We're going to jump in. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 say, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Father, your church, right now, we come before you, opening your word, and we're hungry, we're thirsty. This world does not satisfy us. You alone satisfy us. So by your Spirit, would you enlighten the places of our heart that is dark. God, we're coming for instruction. We're coming to be fed. We're coming to you, our great supplier. God, give us what we need. Give us what you want for us to have today. God, may you do a work through your word that we could not muster up. Change our lives. Use your word to shape us into your likeness. Give us what we need. In Christ's name, amen. So it is Thanksgiving Sunday, and the Lord has blessed us with a passage that is very fitting for the week that we stop and reflect. We look back, most of us look back on the year, and we recollect of all of the things that God has blessed us with, particularly Him, but we look back and we give thanks to God. And church, for us, we've said this over and over, no one in the world should outdo Christ's body when it comes to Thanksgiving. We are a thankful bunch. We have been given God. We have received Him. He has come to us, and as we've prayed and as we've sung, the response to that, the response to what our God has done for us, is great thanksgiving. And so just a snapshot of what Paul has mentioned earlier in the letter to the Philippians, he says this, some things we're thankful for. We are the children of God. He looks at us as his children. We have been given his light. We shine bright in the world because he has put his light on us. We are the righteousness. We are the righteous ones by faith. We didn't do anything to deserve this. We have received grace upon grace. And now, who we are, where we sit, those of us who are in Christ, we find ourselves righteous and clean before the Lord. The shame and the guilt is gone. We are freed to now live the way that God intended for us to live. Philippians has shown us, Paul has shown us in this letter, that we are not alone. In the lonely, isolated world, we as a body, as his united brothers and sisters, we stand firm together. And we can be thankful for this. With one mind, with one accord, unified, moving forward in life, glorifying God, pressing on, striving toward the goal. We are blessed, church. All this week we get to celebrate the great blessing and thanksgiving of our God and his affection and thoughts toward us. And so here at the end of the letter, Paul gets very practical, and we need practical. I don't know about you. I don't like pie in the sky. I need someone to say, Stephen, do this. Brooke does this a lot. I just put the laundry up. Put it on a hanger. Walk it over and hang it up. Please do this. I need clear instructions. So Paul knows this. The Lord knows that we need clear instructions. And Paul is showing us what obedience to Christ looks like. What does it look like to submit your whole life to the Lordship of Jesus? What does obedience look like? Because of Jesus, we are now freed to live audaciously joyful lives. We continually rejoice, even in our suffering. So this week, our mature brother, by the power of the Spirit, he gives us holy insight on the ground level of what our thought life should be like. What is the thought life of a Christ follower? How do we think in a way where God is glorified in our brains, in our minds? God has blessed us with minds that have the capacity to process thought. All right, our minds are processing our thoughts, and it's those very thoughts that we set our feelings, our emotions, and our actions. I read earlier this week, the Destin Institute says that information runs between these neurons in our brain at 250 miles per hour. We are thinking fast, and we are thinking nonstop. We think. All of us think. Sometimes I'll be riding with my kids, and they're just gazing off in the sky, or Brooke, gazing off in the sky. I say, what are you thinking? Nothing. I don't know if you ever do that. Nothing. No, you're probably thinking something. You just don't recollect what you're thinking. We're always thinking. Our thoughts, our minds are full. God has created us this way. He's created us with intellect, with a way to process information. So take a moment before we jump in here. How would you describe your current thinking life? Your thought life? What are the things that you think about often? Are your thoughts mostly positive? Are your thoughts on God? Are your thoughts on people? Are your thoughts on task? Are your thoughts on list? What words come to mind when I say, evaluate your thought life for a moment? Are your thoughts clouded? Are they erratical? Are they sporadic? Are they impure? We very rarely think about our thoughts. We just think them, you know? Our minds and our thoughts are given to us in a way, and they matter greatly to God. And God has blessed us with them to glorify him with. So much so that earlier in this in this letter in chapter 2, verse 5, Paul puts it this way: have this mind in you that is yours in Christ Jesus. So, Christ follower, the minds that we have, God has blessed us with the accessibility of the mind of Christ. He says, the mind of a Christian has been transformed, and it's being transformed. God doesn't just want our hearts. Jesus shows us that He is transforming our minds. And Jesus sets forth for us a pure way of thinking, a holy way of thinking, the correct way, the way to think. And that, because of Christ, Christian, that mind that Christ has, it's ours. We have access to it. But it's only ours through Jesus. By Jesus, we have the capacity to think well. And not only that, but Paul also talks about the process of how God is transforming our minds. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says this: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewal of your mind, that by testing it, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is how God changes us. He leads us into a renewed mind, a transformed mind, as we digest Him. That is, that our minds are renewed as we conform to Christ and not of the world. That God is learning, God is teaching us how to think like Him, to think His thoughts, to dwell on what He dwells on, to want what He wants. So in the end of this letter, Paul leaves them with some more down-to-earth instructions on how a Christian should think and act. So today we're going to look at two things. First is the list to think, and the second is actions to emulate. So first, the list to think. Verse 8 says this: finally, brothers, which, hold on, time out. I always make fun of Pastor David because, you know, he has a bunch of finalies. You know, like he'll end his message a few times. But I found this week that that's actually biblical. The Apostle Paul had already said, finally, brothers, at the beginning of chapter 3. So I'm going to give all pastors reserve the right to close their sermon at least twice, possibly more. So, but I want everyone to know what Pastor David does is historical, it's accurate, it's biblical. And so we can continue to worship God and allow that to happen. So, all right. Here's what else it says. Finally, brothers, it's coming to the end. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. We need to, the word think here is a big word. It's not just give some time to think about this. The word here is to give careful thought and attention to the matter. It's saying stop and consider this, ponder this. Let your mind dwell on something. It's a call to be attentive, to be reflective, to meditate, to be a thinker. Thomas Merton explain this and says it's really hard for Americans who live busy, rushed lives to move toward the what he calls the contemplative life and creating space for healthy thought. So this is a bigger picture that the Apostle Paul is calling Christians to. He's saying, here's a list of things that will be helpful for you to give time to give your mind over to. To live with. And then he lists on the screen is the list of what he gives. He says anything that's true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, all of these things. The Apostle Paul is using a list of virtues that the Hellenistic culture that he's writing to at the time, they would understand. So he's taking their cultural context, the words that they use, the things that they value, and the Apostle Paul is coming to the Christians and saying, all of these things that your culture declares is good, they are good. You should think about those things, and we need to think of them through the lens of what Christ has accomplished for us. Christians don't just dismiss the culture. We recognize and enjoy these virtues, these Hellenistic virtues, to their fullest because they're from God. This list is a list that has been given to us. We are blessed with from God. And so he says, everything, he repeats the word whatever 6 times, okay? Anything that you can think of. So church, do this with me for a minute. Anything that you can think of that is true, anything that you can think of that is honorable or just or pure or lovely, all the things. Sports, yes. Science, yes. Medicine, yes. Philosophy, yes. Boating, yes. Design, decoration, gardening, books, yes, yes, yes. All of the things, everything, he's putting everything together. This is not just particular Bible Christian things. This is everything that God has given us that he has declared good. We are to heap up and let our minds go there. We are to think of those things. It's free game. Anything good. Common grace as well as particular grace. It covers general and natural revelation as well as particular and specific revelation. It's all God's. And it's good for us to fill our time thinking about these things. So from the beauty of the mountains and the cuteness of puppies, all the way to the atonement and the resurrection of Jesus. If it's true, if it's honorable, if it's just, if it's pure, if it's lovely, if it's excellence, if it's worthy of praise, there's a million things on this list. And the Apostle Paul says, think about these things. Think about them. Don't dismiss them. Think about them. In explaining this, D.A. Carson says, think about true things, not about the false. Think about the noble things, not the vulgar. Think about whatever's right. Do not dwell on the wrong. Then he says, what does this say about the programs you watch? Think about whatever is pure, not the sleazy. Think about the lovely, not the disgusting. Think about the admirable, not the despicable. If it is excellent, think about it. He goes on to say that this is not the Apostle Paul calling us to escapism, avoiding the harsh realities of the life that in the world that we live in, but it's simply not succumbing to them. It's not allowing the brokenness, the sin in the world to control our thought life. It's simply not succumbing to them and allowing the excellent things to set the precedent of our minds. So this is a call for us, Christian, to stop succumbing to the negative demeanor of always seeing things in light through the brokenness that is. Rather, seeing the original intent of what God desired and blessing it and enjoying the thought of that thing. It's joy. And this is especially important for us now, this week, and as we move into this holiday season. We're going to be surrounded by people that are far more negative than they are positive. They see more clearly the things that they do not like and less the things that God loves. And the call here is to move into those things with a vision, with a renewed mind to be able to see the things that God says are good and think about them. Hang out there. Spend time there. Put your mind to these things. Now, Paul doesn't give us a list, but he does give us main topics. Okay? I've been encouraged. I did this last year. I'll do it again this year to build the list. Build the list of the things that would be helpful and healthy for me to be thinking about. I would encourage you to do the same. So let's run through this list very quickly. First, he says, whatever's true. Whatever's true. Church, the enemy wants to fill your mind with non-truths called lies. That there are a barrage of lies that come after you. There is the father of lies contorts the truth and gets in our thoughts and sign-lines us. There's a battle going on between our ears. And in order to not give him the foothold that he desires, we must combat the lies with truth. The lies that come in sometimes are, no one loves you. You're wasting your life. You're a disappointment to God. You're broken beyond compare. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. And that's a lie. Paul says, whatever's true, live there. Think those thoughts. For me, as going through this, here's some of the truths that I'm clinging to in my thought life to resist the father of lies. Here's what I repeat to myself continually. God enjoys the real Stephen. That's true. That's true. That's true even if I don't think it's true. That's true when I don't feel it's true. It's true. What's true is, just as the seasons change, God changes our seasons. We're not stuck. God has our best interest. What's true is, God entrusts my children to me. I don't know why. I don't know why. It's very scary. But knowing that truth, that God could have given these children to anyone, but he entrusted them. He trusts me and Brooke with these children. That is less of a burden, more of a recognition that God sees some value in me to let me have this responsibility. That is true. That is true. What else is true? I got a lot of people that love me. That's true. That's true. And so, church, it'd be good for you to, if there are lies that continually Satan tries to use to sideline you, if there are half-truths, replace them. Take time to think through what is the truth that you need to hear. He also says, whatever's honorable, honorable is giving distinctive worth to something. When you see someone in line with what they're supposed to be doing, and hard work and diligence. When your kid works hard on a project for a good grade, that's an honorable task. Think about that. Don't just pass it by. Don't nitpick what's wrong about the thing. Pull out the honor that exists in this world. Think about those things. Whatever is right and just, this is in line with what is correct. Think about the things that are correct. Virtuous term of the upholding of justice and the celebrating of things that are well ordered. It's good to see something working properly and to step back and just think about it. Wow, that's good. That's the way that's supposed to be. If you see injustice being done and then justice happens, we step back and say, yes, finally, wonderful. Paul says, put your mind there. Think about those things. Celebrate that. That was wonderful. Okay, he says, whatever is pure is focusing on the things that are morally blameless, unstained, keeping yourself pure. It says, whatever's lovely, that is beautifully attractive to you, of good report, worth talking about, appealing, all of those things that cause holy pleasure and delight. Enjoy the beautiful things. As Pastor David mentioned, being able to take time to stop, watch leaves fall off a tree, change colors, the beauty of fall. 20 years ago, I met Brooke Wagner, Brooke Long, who would eventually become Brooke Wagner. And the beauty that I saw, the moment, and the beauty that I heard and learned that time has only grown in my heart and in my thoughts for 20 years. She's beautiful. Her beauty, God was kind to bless me with outside, inside, a beautiful spouse. And it's good here for me to glorify God and recognize and think about the beauty that is this lady. My lady. This is a good thing. He says, anything that's commendable, that means that's building you up, that is a virtue that builds you up, that motivates you to do better, inspirational, wise counsel, lessons that you've learned in the past, all those things, give it time, think about those things. He says, anything that's excellent, that's a respectful admiration to those things or the people that are noble, that are serious, defined, honorable, and above reproach. Things, D.A. Carson says, things that lift the mind from the cheap to the respectable. And he closes it and says, and whatever's praiseworthy, whatever is worthy of praise, don't leave church, don't leave any praise on the table when it comes to your thoughts. We are continual worshipers. It's calling us to think like God. Think God thoughts. So before we jump on, pause for a moment. Is this the patterns of your thought life? Do you think about things this way? Some might say, I'm having a hard time coming up with a list. Here's what King David said in Psalm chapter 19, which is very similar to this list. He's describing the Word of God. And he says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fuels of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They're pointing us to where we find these beautiful things of God. Primarily, we find God's thoughts through God's Word. That to join God's thoughts, to receive and think the way that He wants us to think, this is where we must live. This is what is needed to enter in order for it to roll through. Jesus even prayed, God, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. So I don't know, sometimes we get in seasons, our minds get in seasons where we can't discern what is true and what is false. We don't know what's pure and what's not pure. The Word shows us greatly, continually. It says, sanctify your mind by setting your sights on the things above. God uses the truth of the gospel to make us more like Him. The way we avoid being conformed to the world, the way we are transformed in the to conform to the unity of Christ is by the renewing of our minds. And the Apostle Paul has been showing us through this letter that the gospel of Jesus is the foundation for the life of joy in following Him. So it's no surprise that all of these virtues that he has listed, each of them find their ultimate fulfillment, their completion, their start, and their end in the work of Jesus. So what makes this list here uniquely Christian? What sets it apart? Well, Jesus is the true Word of God. The truth, not only of what He has done, but the truth of the words that He spoke. Jesus is the truth that we can dwell on. No one is worthy of more honor than Christ. He is pure, unstained. It's good for us to think about the purity of Christ. His loveliness shakes the earth. All beauty came from His hand. He is excellent, truly worthy of all praise, and He will receive all praise on the last day when every knee will bow and tongue confess that He's the Lord. So as we dwell on the person and work of Jesus, the union we now share with Him, the best thoughts we could ever have are thoughts of our Savior. So what does this look like, Paul? What does this look like? Verse 9. He gives us actions to emulate. Verse 9 says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Once again, so the Apostle Paul has this repetitive thing in this letter. He's reminding us over and over, this is the third time, Paul goes back to the importance of learning from godly examples. And here's who we got this from, Jesus. Jesus comes up and shows, displays kingdom living, proclaims the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus lives a life worthy of following, worthy of emulating. So the disciples learn how to follow Jesus by watching Jesus, by listening to Jesus, by walking with Him, by eating with Him, by cutting up with Him, okay? By living life with Him. So the Apostle Paul is reminding us again. He's saying, one thing that's really helpful for you is if you just look and see and you hear and you learn and receive, you heard and you saw, practice these things. Find some worthy Christians. Paul says, here's what you do. The way that I was thinking, think like that. What was on my mind when I was with you? What did I talk about when I was around you? How did I respond? What did I read? What do I value? What did I do to improve my mind? So think about someone with a disciplined or a discipled mind. What did they watch? How did they spend their afternoons? How did they talk to you? What do they talk like? How do they listen? Do you read what they read? Do you watch what they watch? He's going back to, and he's using himself as an illustration. He says, he's following Christ the best way possible. And he says, do what I do. He reminds them, you've learned these things. You've received these things. You've heard these things and you've seen these things. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. At some point, your thinking turns into practice. He says, what you've learned, received, heard, seen, practice these things. He simply says, do it. Do it. That is the hardest step. You know what to do, do it. You know how to think, think it. Do it. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. I have four very quick recommendations. First is this. Do this. Give your mind to the Lord by giving your mind to the Word. You need this, church. You need this. We need truth. We need to know what's beautiful. We need to know what He declares is pure. We need to know this. All godly people have this one thing in common. They are people of the Word. Someone said, I forgot who, the major danger is that we make very little effort to think God's thoughts, to find good what He finds good, to hide His Word in our hearts. This means we ought to memorize it, read it, reread it, think about it, turn it over and over in our minds. We must be Word people. That's Apostle Paul was Word people. Second is this. This letter was written to a group of people, not a person. So the Apostle Paul, even as they were reading it, they probably read it individually, but they also read it together. This is a group effort. So he was calling them to think this way. It wasn't just, hey, you go do this by yourself, good luck. He tells them to stand firm in unity, and then he calls them together and says, think this way as a community. Think these thoughts. Get help here. Submit your thoughts. Submit your impure thoughts. Submit your unholy thoughts to a trustworthy community who will help you think properly and help you fight those thoughts. Bring truth to those feelings and thoughts. We do this through our sent communities where we are locking arms with each other, striving to help each other think well. The third is this: identify and dismiss opposing thoughts. Identify and dismiss opposing thoughts. They're competing for your attention. Not true, dishonorable, morally disdained, and impure. We cannot celebrate and join in with what God hates. We do not need to allow those thoughts to enter into our minds. Impure, disgusting thoughts. Run away from them. What this means for some of us is running away from Facebook. Run away from Instagram. Run away from songs. Run away from artists that do not help you think these thoughts. Run away from movies that do not lead you toward a life of enjoying and declaring what God declares as good. Get away from it. Do not let them in your mind. They cannot get a foothold if they don't have access. Don't give them the key. The fourth is this. Take time to think. Take time to think. It's very difficult in the society that we find ourselves where busy and accomplishing is the God. Accomplishing things and getting money is the God, and we bow down to that with every minute of our lives. church, we can be what Christ calls us to be. We can be a counterculture to the brokenness that exists in it. We can be freed to think properly, not too busy to dwell on the things of the Lord. The result here says, this is an application with a promise. As you do these things, here's what will happen. It's not just the peace of God, but the God of peace himself will be with you. So as we move to reflection, if we're not careful, after hearing just these two verses, we'll think, take this passage and think, well, Pastor Stephen told me I needed to think different, and I got to go do this, and I got to do this, and I got to go find somebody worth emulating. I need to become someone worth emulating, and I got to do all these things. I got to do that in this order. But we must look at Paul's words, these two verses, in the context of the whole letter. In the context of the whole letter, Paul is saying that Jesus not only gives us a brilliant example of how to think, and gives us an example, Christ as our example, shows us clearly what thinking to the glory of God looks like. But Jesus also makes it possible for us to think this way. Because by his blood, we've received the purity that Christ is. That as we read this, we find ourselves, we are, because of Christ, we are made honorable. We are lovely because of his work. We are redeemed and rescued. We are excellent in his eyes. The Lord delights. There's a praiseworthiness there. That because of Christ, this has been accomplished and fulfilled. We now, because of him, we get to receive the mind of Christ. We don't earn it, but this is our standing now because of Jesus, that we have access. We have access to think this way, to act this way, because Christ has done everything necessary for our entry into his presence. What's beautiful here is that anybody can get in on this glorious truth that the Apostle Paul has laid out in this letter. We receive Christ, and as we receive Christ, we get all the benefits of knowing him, which here is a renewal of our mind and clarity of what following him looks like. Let's pray. Father, grant your people, grant us the thoughts and the discipline to pursue the thoughts that you would have us think. God, make us different. Show us where we need your continued grace, clarity. God, grant us now mature followers. God, move us into the people that could look at others and say, just as you learned and received and heard and saw in me, practice these things. Make us the people that can say that. God, give us lives worth emulating. Give us thoughts worth sharing. Give us truth worth grabbing. God, we want the God of peace to be with us. Grant us that in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Now we want to come to a time where we're going to respond to the word together, respond to the Lord together. And so we're going to do a few particular things. First, I'd invite you to stand, and when you're ready, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've trusted Christ with your life, I want to invite you to first come and grab the elements for communion, the bread and the juice or the wine, and take them back to your seats, and we will take communion together as a body. And so if you want to take just a minute and come down this way and grab them, and then exit up the center aisles. There's gluten-free bread over here if you have to have that. Otherwise, they're both the same. So go ahead and grab your communion and then take it back to your seats, and we'll walk through that together. Before we take the bread, as folks are still grabbing theirs, just would encourage you to continue to think about all of the things we have to be grateful for, to think about all of the areas in which God is calling us to think through Philippians chapter 4, 8, and 9. Paul had said for us to practice those things. One of the things that Paul practiced in the midst of the Corinthian church and the Philippian church was certainly leading them through and to the Lord's table and leading them through communion. And so we're going to do that this morning together. What you hold in your hand is the bread and the cup. And what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Take the bread and remember Jesus' body as you eat it. Jesus, thank you for your body that was broken for us so that we might be forgiven and redeemed of our sins. Thank you, Jesus. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Take the cup and drink in it. As you do, let's remember the blood of Christ together. Jesus, thank you for your blood that was spilled, that was poured out on our behalf. So, Lord, as we eat and we drink, we do so in remembrance of you, proclaiming to ourselves, to one another, and to the world around us that we are redeemed, we have been purchased, that we are yours, we've been forgiven, we've been set free, that you took our place, that you rose again victorious, that you live today, that you will come again to get us. We thank you for all of these things. Thank you that we get to do it together as a body and as a people. We are reminded of you today, Christ Jesus. Thank you. It's in your beautiful name I pray and ask these things, Jesus. Amen. Now I'm going to respond to the Lord in a couple other particular ways. If you're in here and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I would encourage you to trust in him. Repent and believe in Christ. I'll be standing in the back. I'd love to chat with you more about what that means. And then we're going to sing songs that are true about Christ. We get to, as God's people, Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We get to do that in every circumstance, in every season. And one of the circumstances is when we gather together every single week, we get to rejoice in the Lord. We get to sing, declaring that he is who makes us joyful. And so let's sing together. And then lastly, if you have kids, I would invite you to go grab them, bring them over here. And then if you want to give during this time, you can do that. We give cheerfully, obediently, and sacrificially as a body of believers to Jesus in response to all that he's done for us. And so if you're here this morning, you want to give worshipfully, you may do that online. There's also give boxes up here at the front. You can come and give during this time. Let's continue to worship Jesus now as a people for the remainder of our time together. Let's sing together.
On the mountain, I felt your love within the valley, and your grace still surrounds me. Yeah, you've been good to me. Oh, you've been good to me. I've seen your goodness on the mountain. Felt your love within the valley, and your grace still surrounds me. God, you've been good to me. Oh, you've been good to me. My soul sings, and my soul sings. My soul sings with all my heart. I love you, Lord. You're my first love. You're my reward. And through all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Sing all my life.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
Sing all my life.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Sing all my life.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I cast my mind
to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. So praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord our God. Third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven. trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord our God.
He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord.
Oh, praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, our God.
God, thank You that one day we will sing and see You face to face forever. And I pray that until then You would help us to think about the things that are true now, the things that You've made true, because of what You've done on the cross, and the things that will become true, all the sad things that will become untrue when You come back again and make all things right. Thanks for these people and the chance to get to sing together. Thanks for the many, many things that we have to be thankful for. I pray that Your word would be among the top of the list of things that we're thankful for, the things that we appreciate and don't just waste. I pray that we would find ourselves in love with You and Your word, in love with the things that are true and honorable and noble and commendable and all the things, that it wouldn't feel like a to-do list or a chore, that it would feel like Your spirit compelling us to investigate and to look into the mystery and to find more truth and more of who You are. Help us do that and represent it as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. You can be seated for just a minute. I got two quick announcements for you. First, Pastor Stephen, thanks for preaching God's word to us today. Really, really grateful. That wasn't one of the announcements. But secondly and thirdly, Saint Communities, if you're not part of our Saint Communities, would love for you to get plugged into one of those. If you want more information about that, I'll be standing in the back. Pastor Stephen will be around. You can ask one of us, and we would love to get you connected there. And then lastly, we were having the meeting a couple weeks ago. We emailed everyone about evangelism meeting. If you're interested at all in what it means to be more intentional and more grow in your ability to share Jesus with other people, the elders have been discussing and praying through how we might can lead our church better in this. And so we're going to meet today from 4 to 6 at Independence Hill Baptist Church. If you are planning to come to that gathering, that meeting today, if you just let one of the pastors know, so we can plan appropriately for that, what that looks like, that'd be great. We would love for you to come. For you that say, hey, this is me. I really, really, really want to be better at telling my friends about Jesus. Or if you aren't that great at it and you want to get better at it, this is for you, okay? So come on, show up, and we will talk together and strategize together and pray together about how we can do this more faithfully and more effectively as a people. I'm excited to see what fruit is going to come from this in the days and weeks and months and even years ahead. And so I'm hopeful and prayerful that this is the start of something really neat that the Lord is going to do in our midst. So let's, again, if this is you, show up, be here. And otherwise, pray for us. And we will look to see you next week or before then. So you guys go with grace and peace. I'm going to read Philippians 4 one more time on our way out the door. But go with grace and peace as we remember Jesus and all we have to be grateful for this week. So, like, let's not be those Christians that skip over Thanksgiving, okay? Let's enjoy Thanksgiving and all that God has given to us this week as we look ahead to the season of Advent. Philippians chapter 4, got to get there. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You are sent. See you next time."